Hi there. Hi, everybody. I'm gonna let everybody come in here as I'm making some changes to Coach Julie. All right, let's get started. Welcome. Hi, welcome, one and all. If this is your first live, three important things first. Number one, raise your hand if you want to be coached on the past. This is the self-love course, coaching on the past night. If you want to chat, hi there, Darla from Beaverton. If you want to chat, you want to change your chat at the bottom to all panelists and attendees. Wow. Hi, Fiona from Ireland. And then the third important thing is if you would like to ask a question but not raise your hand, that's fine too. There's a Q&A at the bottom and I will answer those between hand raises and also at the very end. So hi, hi from Alaska, Gail and Melinda. Oh my goodness, we have a really diverse crowd here today. So let me introduce myself. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Coach Julie. I have been an OBS member since September 2019. I've lost 70 pounds. I'm about halfway to my goal. And I primarily work one-on-one with OBS members. And the one-on-one coaching program is geared towards members who want to focus on something specific. You know, there are all different reasons for that. It might be an appealing approach for a member who wants to accomplish a specific goal or get past something from their past, taking their weight loss to the next level, or someone who just wants a more private, personal experience. So if you're interested in working one-on-one with me or any of the coaches, you can go to pmptribe.com, click on coaching, and then select one-on-one coaching. Thank you. I am freezing. I am in Idaho, and I'm almost guessing that our heat isn't working right because I am just freezing. So I'm bundled up. We're all here together, and we are going to be coaching on the past. So let's get started. The past is a fact, right? It happened. It's something that happened, and then your thoughts today create your feelings today. So I want to share with you a personal example. I was molested by a family member once a week from age 3 to 7 while my parents were bowling in a bowling league. Part of the ritual of that act was after it was over, the person would make macaroni and cheese for me. And after I ate it, they told me that I would get in trouble for sneak eating, and so I better not tell anyone. I was 3 years old, and I believed them. I never told. For 40 years, I have only spoken about this experience a handful of times, really. And in fact, I've never spoken about it publicly until this moment. Before I knew how to think on purpose, I thought about it almost every day, and I thought it shouldn't have happened. I told myself that no child deserves that. I told myself that it was my fault because I could have stopped it if only I had told a parent or an adult. I held myself responsible for not telling. I blamed me. I felt guilt and shame, and I ate to push away my feelings. It turns out it didn't really matter what should or shouldn't have happened because it did happen. And nothing can change that it did happen. The only thing that was changeable was how I thought about it and how those thoughts made me feel. So through no BS, I rewrote the story and I landed on a new version that goes something like this. I was a little kid that did the best that she could with the skills that she had at the time. I was brave and strong, and I was able to live through it and thrive and have an amazing life, even with that as a foundation. That's it. I lived 40 years with a story that caused the guilt and shame, and after rewriting it, I feel proud. I admire my strength and my bravery, even now, my thoughts about sharing this with you today, it makes me feel brave. My news story reminds me that I'm the sum of all of my life experiences. My tenacity, my determination, two qualities I love about me, I found inside that little girl all those years ago. Now I practice my news story every day I think about it. And I think about it so much less than I thought was ever possible. So I have lived rewriting this past experience work, and I want to support you in working through your past too. So if you want to work with me on this right now, raise your hand. I'm going to take the first hand raise. Thank you all for your support. I appreciate it. All right, Darla, I'm going to bring you up, promote you to panelist. Thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. It says she's coming on up. We all know that that can take a minute, takes a hot minute. Darla, hi. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. How can I work on a past experience with you?
So I've been with No BS since June of 2020. And I am, I'm losing weight like a boss. And it's just like melting off.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the issue that I'm facing currently is around being enough. And so I've been doing the self-love course, and I'm reading The Body Is Not an Apology as part of the book club. And I've had quite a few aha moments. And then we hear that equal airtime, that quote, doing equal air time. And I wrote in my journal last night about equal air time and what I thought it meant to me. And, you know, kind of trying to change my thoughts. And my biggest thing right now is not being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it stems from my childhood. I know it stems from my childhood. Okay. And I'm just really struggle trying to get past that, because I'm the youngest of seven. I'm my dad was my mom's third marriage. I'm the only byproduct of that marriage. And I was never made important. I have other siblings who, I have a brother and a sister who are in the middle, and they got all the attention. And I'm trying to tell myself that they got all the attention because they needed it the most, right? Like, my brother was always in trouble and my sister had fits a lot, but it still comes down to, you know, I never got a pat on the back, never got a job pat on the, you know, be told job well done. I've never been allowed to, forget my mistakes. And then there's been things that have been said to me, mm-hmm. like, you know, my dad would, and I was young, my dad would say, when God said legs, you thought he said kegs and ordered two large ones. My mom, when I had a brother passed away, and my mom was already divorced from my dad, she said she wished she would have never married my dad. And then she would say things like, she only wanted one child, or she didn't want to have any children. And that all just kind of, like, you know, really makes me feel that like I'm just not good enough no matter what I do.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the specific. So your dad said words, obviously, mm-hmm. there were multiple circumstances, and you have a thought that you're not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote down 12 thoughts around not being good enough.
Yeah. And how does that feel?
It feels like shit. Another word I came up with was I feel insignificant.
Yeah. So, all right. So when was the last time your dad spoke to you in this way?
My dad passed away in 2005. God rest him soul. I was probably middle school, high school.
Okay. So it's been a bit since before 2005.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but for a while. And your current story though about yourself is that you're not enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So your dad said words before 2005 and you have a thought that you're not enough. And that is carrying forward to today for you, right? But we get to think how we want to think about ourselves, like as of this exact moment, every moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what if it didn't mean that you aren't enough? What would be the equal airtime for the other side of the story if that weren't a true story?
And that's where I struggle, is trying to get to the other side.
Okay, let's do that together right now. So, Darla, tell me how you are enough.
I'm here.
Okay. What do you, how do you define enough anyway?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Like, what is enough to you?
So for some of the examples where I feel like I'm not good enough is a mother, a wife, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a friend, a reader. I'm not creative enough. You know, I'm not an organizer. I don't set goals. You know, I've got a lot of those.
Yeah. So, but those are just thoughts you practice, right? Does that make them true? Like, really, are you not a good mom?
Well, I will say that I will say that I am a better mother. I guess based on the way I was raised and the tools that were handed down to me, I'm a better mother than what I got.
Yeah. Are you an imperfect mom?
I'm not perfect. Yeah. No. Yeah. I make mistakes. So
are you human?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how is being like an imperfect human? How is there anything not enough about that?
This is where I'm trying to get past all those like feelings and moving forward. And, you know, it's like, I keep trying to tell myself that, you know, like even at work, it's like I got a new job and it's like, okay, I can't do this job. I'm not good enough to do this job. And then I have to talk myself down from it. It's like, if they didn't believe in me, they wouldn't have given me the position, right?
Yes. Good job. That is equal airtime to that story. And all that's happened is you haven't practiced equal airtime for the other sides of your stories, right?
Like, no.
You have a lot of thoughts that are kind of judgmental, which is basically like your old shitty thinking is running amok in there. And left to its own devices, it just takes over, right?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah. So how can you quiet your old shitty thinking? What do you want to think?
I want to think that I'm good enough, in all of these areas. But I also need to, like, in certain aspects, understand that, you know, to be like a good sister doesn't mean that I allow my siblings to walk all over me or abuse me in any way, shape, or form.
Right, because there's no universal definition of what a good sister is. It's what it is to you.
Yes. Yep.
So you get to define that for you. So you get to decide right now you're a good sister because you are. Because you are a sister, not because you do anything.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, I don't have a definition for what a good sibling is, except for examples I see of my friends and their siblings. Yeah. I didn't have that as, you know, in my family.
Yeah. But just remember, there's no good. There's no universal standard of what that is. And it means something different to all of us. So you get to decide what that is for you.
Okay.
So you get to decide right now that you're an amazing mom and sister.
I'm an amazing mom, you know, yes. And I definitely think I'm an amazing daughter. And as my mom's been having a rough time with some things, and I've been trying to help her without causing her anxiety. So, so I guess I'll just have to work on the remaining, how I want to think about the rest of them.
Yeah. What's really going wrong? Like, if you had to narrow it down to one thing, what's the thing that's going wrong?
I think mostly it's fear. I don't know.
So you have thoughts that cause you fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but your thinking is completely optional. So it's accessible to you right now to practice thinking that you're enough. The only thing going wrong is you're not practicing it enough to start believing it.
Okay. I need to practice more. And so last night I wrote this down and I posted it into the 55 and older group. And tonight I'm going to work on the up, you know, like answering the difference, like, you know, like not a good enough mother, and then changing the narrative on each of these.
Yes. Like, how are you a totally good enough mother? How do you show up as an awesome mom? How do you define what being an awesome mom is to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Find me in Facebook and I want to know what you land on. Okay.
I'll do that. Yeah. I'll post it to the main page in the Facebook, and then I'll tag you, and then I'll post the aftermath.
Darla, it's completely accessible to you today. Like, it just takes repetition, like rewriting the story and repeating it to yourself as you learn to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's 58 years in the making, so it's not going to happen overnight, right?
That's a true statement. Yes. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. I put you back to panelists. It takes a minute, and I'm going to bring Jen on. I'm trying to bring Jen on. There we go. Okay. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
What do you want to work on?
Well, rewriting my past. Okay. So this is hard for me to say, but when I was 18, I had a guy who I considered my friend attempt to sexually assault me. And it really messed up my 20s, like, for me. And I remember I'm barely 18. I'm still a kid. I went to my mom for help, And she pretty much told me it was my fault because I was, you know, maybe I was flirting too much with him, and that really like struck with me. And then like, I was terrified to talk with like the detective, and he basically made it seem like it was my fault because at that time, rape culture isn't what it is today. Like pretty much it's like back then it was your fault. And I tried to go to therapy for it and I'm just not over it. And, you know, like there's certain triggers for me that even kind of play into like my marriage a little bit, which is hard for me to kind of open up about. And like, I'm just shocked I'm being so open. Like, I'm just telling you my whole story right now. This is like,
okay. Thank you. Thank you for trusting me with your story and trusting these, the membership with your story.
I'm just like, I'm dying on the inside. And like, I keep going to try to rewrite it. And every time I do, it just like, it tears me to pieces because how are you supposed to go from being told that, you know, your mom is blaming you for something that I didn't have? I even had a boyfriend at the time and he blamed me for it. And I was like, no, I would never cheat on you. You know, he was my first boyfriend, my first love. And it just like put a hole in my heart. And my parents kind of just let me go through like this huge assault by myself. And I mean, now as I'm older, I mean, and this maybe is the new thoughts coming in, I feel like if I'm in a situation where I'm not comfortable and I say stop, you better stop in that moment. You know, I don't care how far along in the sexual process we are. You know, we can be in the middle of intimacy and I'm like, uh-uh, time out. I don't feel right. That should stop.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how to rewrite that and quit because I don't want to be the victim of that anymore. I hate the way that it has controlled so much of like my identity, a lot of my sexuality, you know, like even like going through my 20s, you know, I felt like, oh, well, you know, maybe if I just have sex with this guy, he can't take that from me. I'm giving it to him. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, and I'm a woman of faith and, you know, I just like feel just so sometimes so dirty and gross and there's a lot of emotion with that. And I'm just like, how do I rewrite that to make it not feel so bad? Like I'm the one to blame when the rest of the world blamed me in that moment.
Yeah. That's,
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to cry.
First of all, don't apologize for crying. And sometimes crying is just a release. And actually in like some of the steps of rewriting, that's one of the things Corinne talks about is getting the emotion that's been trapped in your body all this time out of your body. So if tears come, if you're comfortable, you let them come.
Okay, so, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So I understand the situation that happened. Tell me how you think about it today. Like, looking back, like, what are your thoughts about the experience?
I feel a lot of shame. I feel like I made a mistake because I trusted somebody, you know, and I thought he was my friend. And, okay. You know, I also feel guilt because he was really cute and I did flirt with him. And mm-hmm. So that was kind of, you know, when my mom said, well, you're flirting with him too much, you know, that hits you hard.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's just this really gross part of me that I tuck deep down that certain things trigger. And I want to get over it. I want to not be that person anymore. I even hear people with like the same name as him and I cringe on the inside, even just the sound of his name.
I understand.
How do I just like let that go and not let it be a part of me or identify, you know, me anymore?
Well, I mean, it probably is always going to be a part of you, right? So you just get to rewrite how you think about it and how you feel about it today. So that happened that one time when it did. And you have, you know, practice, repetition of thinking about it, resisting the feelings you had about it. And so the first step is really neutralizing the story. So if you were going to take all of your emotion out of it, how could you tell me the story with absolutely no emotion, facts only?
Facts only. I went to the park with who I assumed was my friend and he attacked me.
Okay, you went to the park with a man and he mm-hmm. attacked you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, just sit with it for a minute though. Because it's not happening to you now. It did.
No.
Yeah. And you obviously in the moment then had a lot of feelings about the experience, but you get to think about it today in a way that doesn't feel as painful, right? So by taking a little bit out of the emotion out of it, you're neutralizing it. Now you get to insert like the information you have about yourself today into your story. Yeah. So, okay, did you learn anything from it? Have you grown from it? How are you a better person from having lived through this experience?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, it's changed my perspective on a lot of things. I mean, it definitely was at a point that really affected the person I became today. The self-love course has been so hard for me because, you know, it's hard to love that part of me, the part of me that was, you know, just completely abused by somebody. And to be, you know, to be this vulnerable 18-year-old, because at that time, you know, you're still 18, you're like an adult. You're not an adult at 18. I'm sorry. I don't even think I was an adult at 25. Some days I'm like, yeah. I'm in my 30s. And I used to think, you know, in my 20s, a 30-year-old's got it together. And really, we're faking it. But,
yeah.
But you know, I guess the more and more I think about it, it's kind of like made me be more guarded. With who I choose to be around. My friend selection has gotten better because of it, because I don't know, I guess I see a lot more red flags, but it's just like, I want to rewrite that story to be something that I'm not ashamed of anymore, but I can't get past the shame.
So tell me why that is for you. You know, he did that to you. Mm-hmm. You had nothing to do with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I did because maybe maybe my mom was right. I flirted with him.
No, stop now, Jen. Tell me your truth. Was your mom right?
No, she was wrong.
Right. You know your truth. You can flirt and not be attacked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we have to give equal airtime for mom's side of the story?
No, I don't.
Right. You've done that for how long?
Yeah. Gosh, we're going on 12 years, 13 right. years.
We're giving equal airtime for Jen's side of the story now.
Yeah.
So tell me Jen's story. Like if you were rewriting it.
Yeah.
What is Jen's story without mom and dad, without anybody else?
You know, and I try that and I just keep writing the victim, you know, like I'm just like, well, I was mistreated by, you know, a person I thought was my friend. I was mistreated by the police system.
Yeah, that was all true back then. But who is mistreating you over it today?
Me. I'm mistreating myself over it.
Yeah. Do you want to?
No, I don't deserve that.
So even though in the moment at the time, those people that were in place to have served you didn't serve you in a way that you needed, how can you serve you today?
I can serve me by knowing that I got through it on my own. I guess stronger because of that. And I can help other women in my situation get through that and not feel victimized by the people who they think they can trust.
Yeah. And you're doing that right now. We have, you know, 238 women sitting here.
Oh gosh, there's that many.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what though? That's great. You can decide that's negative, or you could decide that thing you just said, where you can help other women get through it. It's happening now. You're actually you're actually rewriting your story and teaching other women right this minute.
I just don't want anybody else to go through that because it's so horrible, you know? And gosh, I would hate to think, you know, like I know that I've become mentally stronger from it, but if another woman went through that, I would hate that for her. And I would want to just like hold that person and tell them they're enough.
So how do you want to hold you and tell you you're enough right now? Because you're kind of skipping a step, right?
I guess because it's hard to look in the mirror and face that, you know, face that situation that keeps coming up for me and show it that, you know, like, hey, I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. You know, and I pray about it all the time. I'm like, God, just take this out of my mind. I don't want to think about it anymore. I just, some days I wish I would have had amnesia. So I just forget that small portion ever happened because I feel like it's such like, it was such a small moment, but it was such a big chapter. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense, Jen. But I want to ask you, how is it serving you putting energy in to wishing you weren't thinking about it or wishing it didn't happen? Because it did happen,
yeah.
And your brain is going to think about it.
Yeah.
So what thoughts would serve you better today? Like you're in the mirror, it comes up. What could you tell yourself today with your new knowledge that would serve you just a little bit better than your old thoughts?
That, yeah, that happened to me and that sucked, but that doesn't define me. And it doesn't get the same power that I give the love for myself and the love to others anymore.
There you go. Like that's your power thought to practice, right? Because the other thinking, you've been practicing for a really long time. Your change in thinking isn't going to feel natural. It's not going to feel good or true for a while. Right? Because you still think about what happened to you and how yucky that you said, how yucky that felt. And so when you have those original old thoughts associated with the act from those years ago, you're going to practice your new thoughts about the strength that you have and your commitment to self-healing and your commitment to supporting other women. And over time, the act itself fades a little. And the strength rises. It just does take a little bit of time and lots of practice.
Okay.
Also, just leaving, you know, just sitting with it a little bit. You can just sit with your story. We don't have to always jump to this new rosy story. There's just so many steps in between. So many steps, you know?
Yeah.
You took a huge one by talking about it here right now.
It's taken a lot of contemplating because I've been on a few self-love calls and I'm like, should I put my hand up? I'm like, I don't think so. Today, I don't know why. I just did it. And I was like, I highly doubt I'll get called on when you're calling. And I was like, well, here we go.
I just want to thank you for your bravery and for your openness and for the work that you're doing and the example you're setting for all women.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too.
Lots of powerful comments in the chat too. Thank you so much for everyone's participation. And I'm going to bring, is it Mal or Mal? You're going to have to tell me how to pronounce your name. Thank you, Fiona.
Hi. My name is Malaika, but I put Mal, like, just in case, because I know it's, like, super long and confusing. So
Malaika, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. This is actually my first self-love call, and this is my first time ever talking, too, so I'm a little nervous, but I think it'll go great. Like, all the stories so far have been so inspiring, and that kind of motivated me to like talk about like my self-love issues too, and kind of the issues I've had in my past about myself. Like growing up, I know maybe a lot of people can relate to this, but I was obese, and like, you know, it's just, it kind of played a huge role in like the way I grew up, because, you know, I used to get picked on a lot and always got like rude comments about my weight, and a lot of people wouldn't be friends with me, like, you know, growing up because of that. And I don't know, it's just always like something that I've like struggled with even now. Like, even though I've lost a pretty decent amount of my weight, but I went through some serious like self issues, like, you know, with my self image. And I used to restrict very heavily and then binge very heavily. And I used to just like always the way like I'd like look down upon myself to make sure I keep restricting, but then I'd always binge. And then like even now, like even though I've been like an obese woman for like a couple of months, I always feel myself like kind of losing track of it. Like I'll like sort of like give up, and then I want to like restrict and binge again, because like, example, if I have to go somewhere or if I'm going to meet up with friends, like I always get so stressed out about the way I look, and, you know, like, and I'll like sometimes even cancel plans because the way I feel, like if I'm feeling bigger, if I've eaten more, and I always just want to get back into my old habits of counting calories, binging and restricting, because I have such bad like body issues, like the way I see myself. And sometimes I feel like I'm wasting my youth, like being bigger, like my weight has made, like, I focus so much on my weight and it controls the way I feel to the point where I won't go out and hang out with friends and have a good time because I feel fat. And I just want to get rid of that stigma that I have around myself and how, like, I'll always be the fat friend. And it's just something that's followed me throughout, like, my life.
Yeah, thank you so much for being open and sharing your thoughts and your feelings and your story. I'm certain that your story, much like everyone's, is so relatable. So, all right, let's talk about it. So you have tons of thoughts about yourself. Can you see the difference between your thoughts and your feelings when you're talking to me?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, you're speaking to me as if some of those things are true, and I can see that you believe them, but most of your story are thoughts that you have about yourself.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I just want to check in with you. So what is the true circumstance that we're talking about? You had childhood obesity?
Yes.
And you practiced restriction and binging.
Yeah.
So all that we just did together right there was like neutralize your story down to like just the bare facts with none of the emotion. Did I miss anything? You got bullied. Yeah. Okay. You used the phrase picked on, so I want to use your language. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that situation happened when? How many years ago?
Maybe like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like even like, you know, high school, middle school. Yeah. So not too long ago.
Okay. Not too long ago. And when the kids were picking on you, did you believe the things they were saying about you?
Yeah. Because it was like mostly like facts, like example, like there was this boy, oh my god, like, and I remember like I used to talk to him, hang out with him, and I asked him like, you know, like, why don't you like me? And he was like, because you're big. And that was a fact. I was big. So I guess like it's, I don't know, like it is like facts that they were saying, but maybe my emotions got too much into it. Like, I don't know. It's just like, that's always like kind of scared me. Like even now, like, you know, when it comes to like relationships and stuff, it's just, I never believe that anyone could like me because I'm still like big.
Do you like you?
I like aspects of myself, but sometimes that's a really difficult question because I don't know, like I like myself a lot for some time, but then when I have to leave the house or go hang out with friends, I don't like myself as much because none of the clothes look good on me and those type of situations.
So you don't like how you look?
Yes.
Tell me what's likable about you, the person.
I like how I'm really hardworking, and I feel like it's kind of like, if someone tells me there's something I can't do, I will go out of my way to make sure I can do that. And I don't know, there's things that I do like about like how I look too. Like I love my hair, and you know, I like my height and my skin and all those type of things. But I don't know, there's just like my weight, I feel like, is the only thing I don't like about myself.
Yeah. Is that a problem? Can you love yourself and not like your weight?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But?
Yeah.
It's just so hard. Oh my God.
Right?
You ignore the baby.
Oh, it's fine. So it's totally fine. So really, what's the problem?
I feel like just, I think too much about the way people will perceive me rather than the way I perceive myself.
Yeah. You have thoughts about your body that you put onto other people. It's you judging you, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's just like, it's so difficult because like growing up, like even now, like all my friends are like gorgeous, beautiful. Like I love them with all my heart. They're like totally like, you know, models. And I feel like that makes me feel insecure about myself because the way
your thoughts about them make you feel insecure about yourself, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But tell me right now, equal airtime for the other story, my friend, like, tell me how you are equally amazing and beautiful. Like just how you described your friends.
Like things I like about myself.
Yeah. Tell me how you are, like, you are giving them credit for being so beautiful. Tell me how you give yourself the same credit.
I don't think I do. Like, there are some things I like about myself, but it's probably, like, I wouldn't see myself that way. Because maybe just the way I am, like, and, you know, the way... I don't know. I don't know how to respond. Like, yeah.
Yeah, this is your work, I think. You know, you describe yourself and how you're thinking about yourself is still just not fully, you know, you're doing the self-love course, which is amazing, but you're still just needing to practice positive thinking around your own body and yourself. Yeah, because you're still separating out the person you are versus your body, but your body is you and your body got you to here.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's just, I'll always have this fear that I'm not working hard enough and like, I'm going to waste my years, like being like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to get rid of this weight as fast as I can. And I always try to like take away those thoughts, but it's just always, it keeps coming up that you need to like, cause summer's coming up, you know? And I feel like I'm just going to miss out on so many things because of my body. And I'm trying to tell myself that, like, you know, and it's so annoying. Like,
Malika, why is faster better?
To get result, like, just so I can experience, like, feeling myself faster, you know, and not being afraid of how I look and go to the beach and hang out with friends and go to the pool without worrying about the way I look and the way I look.
All of those things are accessible to you today.
Yeah.
Tell me how.
Like, wait, can you say that again? I'm sorry.
Every one of the things that you just described, going to the beach, having fun with your friends, the summer, all of that is accessible to you the way you are. Tell me how.
Because I have a body and
it's just what you think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Ugh, so you, just... You can think you can go to the beach and have an awesome time with your friends right now.
I need to shave my legs first, but...
Well, you don't have to, but I hear you. I'm not going to argue with that. But how could you decide that that's accessible to you the way that you are? What would that take?
Self-love. Like telling myself, instead of telling myself that, oh, like you can't go to the beach or like have fun with friends because of your weight. I can start telling myself that I have a body. Nothing's stopping me except myself to do those things.
Exactly. And yes, you've thought these things for a while. So I'll give you that it'll be uncomfortable at first because you're going to have lots of thoughts and feelings. That's totally normal. But having the joyful summer that you're describing has nothing to do with your body size and everything to do with your thinking.
Yes. Thank you so much. You're right. It's so uncomfortable, especially because I've had such disordered like eating habits and like patterns of thinking. And it's just, you know, like it always like comes back. Like, you know, even whenever I'm doing like my planner and everything, they'll just like start bubbling back into my brain. And like, you know, like it's so difficult. And you're right. Like it just takes practice, like trying to do that.
You're really practiced at the bubbling back into your brain thing, which is totally normal. But with the knowledge that you have now, you also have the ability to stop your brain and just be like, no, like this is what I always tell myself. But now I'm practicing believing this. Now I'm trying to believe this. Now I'm showing myself love in this way. And it just takes repetition, like endless amounts of repetition. So for all the times you stop and say, like, this is just how it always is, I want you to tag on, but it doesn't have to be that now I'm working on believing this. And there's so many amazing journal prompts around this. So, you know, I can link some in the call notes, but I want you to really start interrupting your thoughts, noticing your old shitty thinking, and then really practicing your new thinking, and then getting out there and going to the beach and enjoying your life the way you are. Because there's nothing better than loving yourself today while you're working on your health and well-being, while you're in process in this journey, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. That is perfect because literally, like, whenever, like, you know, for our whys, like, when you write, like, your why, I always say because I imagine my future self being in better shape. But I can also, I think I should add on to that, that the way I am right now is totally fine. Like, it's, that's, like, this, like, neutral. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with the way I am. But in the future, I can see myself better instead of always, like, hating on myself right now.
Yeah, you can be completely lovable today and still want to work on your weight and your health or whatever it is you want to work on and love yourself now and have an awesome, fulfilling life while you're working on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So nice to meet you.
You too. And I can't see the comments in the chat, but they all look super sweet, like when they pop up, but I'll look through all of them right now. Thank you guys.
Yeah. And also just so you know, when the replay posts tomorrow, the chat transcript is there. So you could always go back and read it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Are there any more hands? Thank you, Sue. Any more hands for tonight? This has been an amazing evening. I think one hand just went up. Karen, I'm going to promote you to panelist. Thank you so much, everyone. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Barb. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Karen, and I'm going to ask you to start your video. Hi.
Hi, sorry.
Oh, you're fine. No apology necessary. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this call. I never get to get on there because I'm on the West Coast and this is during the work day for me usually.
You're welcome. I'm happy to do it. What do you want to work on today?
I was a victim of domestic violence in my marriage. I left in 2014 with my 3 daughters and the clothes on her back. And I don't want that to be my story. And I really try hard to not make it be my story. But it happened, you know,
right.
It happened, like you said, with the other ladies. And it's like, it's still there sometimes, you know? So, and then also it's so important, like the first caller was talking about her mom would say, you know, I wish I didn't have kids and I don't want my children to feel like they're less than, or they're not okay. Or I don't love them or want them, because mm-hmm. I did want them. I got married so I could have children. I got married later in life and I wanted them and I love them and they live with me and I'm happy to have them with me. Mm-hmm. So I really want to figure out the right way to put that in a story that allows them to be whole and loved and perfect for the humans they are, even though that union that I had was not perfect.
Well, let's work on it from your perspective first, because we can't coach them. But how right. you define it in your life will affect how they think about it in the future, too, because that becomes the circumstance of their past, too. Have you done work on the experience at all with therapy or anything like that? I'm just curious.
A little. I mean, I went to therapy when I left mm-hmm. for about a year, probably. But mm-hmm. there is just a lot of other things also that go along with being a single mom and raising 3 children and being the sole provider. And so I had other issues. I haven't ever really worked on that. Like,
yeah,
this happened to you and you let it happen, or, you know, whatever. Your situation got so bad that happened.
So how is it impacting you today? Like, how are you thinking about it today?
Well, I don't think about it a lot, but I guess, you know, it impacts me in that I think I feel like I have to do everything myself. I'm not very good at asking for help. I don't have a co-parent. Both my parents passed away in the last few years also. So sometimes I tell myself that story. I'm alone. I'm all on my own. I've got to do it all myself. But I know that that's just a story.
Yeah, and it doesn't make it not have truth. You are a single parent doing those things. But the implication to the tone of your story has, it sounds like, a negative implication. Is that true?
Yeah, well, it's lonely for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lonely story. And that isn't true. I have friends and I have resources to reach out to if I need them.
Yeah, so I don't know if you got to page 25 in the workbook, but it talks about post-traumatic growth. And there's a section, I'm going to just read the sentence because Corinne wrote it best, but it says, when you decide to use your past to make today better, instead of allowing it to control you or have control over you, you open yourself up to experiencing post-traumatic growth. And that is basically the change as a result of adversity and other challenges, and how you use that to rise up and, like, in essence, you know, to a higher level of function. So if mm-hmm. you were going to rewrite your story, how has your experience made you better? And in your case, you're asking about being a mom. So how has it made you a better mom?
That's a good question. I'm resilient and I've taught my children to be resilient. Mm-hmm. And I'm a problem solver instead of mm-hmm. a problem dweller. Mm-hmm. So I guess... And you just move forward, you know, propel forward. Like, you can't allow the past to prevent you from propelling forward.
Yeah. And
or even the current circumstance.
Yeah. And do you live that as an example for yourself and for your kids?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I do.
Yeah. So in a way, you're kind of rewriting your story in your present, right? And kind of living that example by rising up above and just like that said, rising up to a higher level of function in yeah. your like present life, right? You're kind of being a living example without sort of having a formal thought and feeling about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. But I should probably have it. Like, I liked how you just got your story out. Like,
thank you.
Even though I know it was hard for you, but you just said it in a way that's like, this is my story. And that's what I would like to have. Just like this, like a go-to version, you know?
Yeah. So how would that look like? Tell me about it. Like, what would be your go-to? You know, my story lasted 4 years of my life and I had it down to 3 sentences or 4 sentences. Tell me your go-to story.
Yeah, well, I was married for 17 years. Didn't work. I made a new life for me and my kids.
I mean, yeah. And do you like your new life?
Yeah, I have a great life now. I own my own home. I run my own business. I have amazing friends, amazing accountability group. And I was even able to coach one of my friends through the Think, Feel, Do cycle on like this problem she had with her neighbor. Like I really coached her through it. And on the phone, she walked across the hall and hugged the neighbor and like fixed the problem like in real time.
Yeah, so I want you to stop for a minute and just see, like, you lit up when I asked you about your life. You were like, I have a great life. You're just like, Julie, I have a great life. And I love that, because do you see how, like, you are literally the living example of like post-traumatic growth? Like, you took this situation that you were in and you turned it into something really positive.
Well, I do have a good life. I'm grateful for that every day. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think you have a good life. How do you feel?
Feel good. That makes me feel great. Right.
Yeah. And when you think about your awesome life outside of the situation that happened and how good it feels, like, what kind of things do you do for yourself?
Well, I mean, P&P, something I do for myself, you know, reach out to my friends and colleagues. I start a meetup group to get people to go get together and go out and see music, which is sort of dormant now because of COVID. But I try to make fun. You know, I try to make my life fun for my daughters. I travel with them again, pre-COVID. But I mean, I try to do things to make every day great.
So Karen, it seems like your work is literally going to page 25 in the workbook and reading that section about post-traumatic growth. And then it's an opportunity for you to journal all about how you are currently living like that. And you just haven't formulated like thoughts and feelings around it. And as we're talking, they're kind of coming to the surface.
Yeah.
But you're in essence, like, you've been doing it on the automatic a little bit. And so the work would be to really like write your truth out and all of the excited part about your life and the amazingness of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. And thanks for coming on here. I love the self-love course. The first time I did it, it changed my life. It helped me lose weight. And so if anybody's listening or on the replay, you're thinking, I'm not doing self-love, do it.
Do it. Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Puts it all together, right? Thank you. Thanks.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Congratulations on like living. You are a living definition of the post-traumatic growth. So thank you.
Very much.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, ladies, we have come to the end of our call here. I want to thank you all, those who spoke. Thank you for your honesty and your openness and your bravery, and those who participated here. Thank you for being here. And I look forward to coaching with you all again soon. Does anybody have any questions? Oh, one Q&A question just popped up. Oh, thank you, Lana. Great coaching. Really appreciate your openness and lots of lovely comments. Ladies, we are all No BS women. I am honored to be on this journey with you all. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Bye now.